Good morning. Morning. How's everybody doing today? I'd like to welcome everyone to Thomas Village Baptist Church. We're thankful you've come out to worship with us. We're thankful for the beautiful landscape out front. We'd like to thank all those that participated. I'm going to start over. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? We're thankful you've come out to worship today and thankful for the beautiful landscaping out front. And I'd like to thank all those that participated in making that happen and welcome everyone to Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I think we've got some folks in the parking lot that's been missing. We're glad to see them back. And there'll be a baby shower for Jared and Ashley Grace after worship service today in the fellowship hall. Invite everyone to stay. I'm going to move church council to next Sunday night instead of tonight. And remember to look in the bulletin and on the back for ongoing activities. And let's remember all those that have been affected by the hurricane and remember those on our prayer list and remember the lost especially. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace in Jesus most of all. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and pray that we will be filled with the Spirit. Father, I pray that your blessings will be with each one that's came out today and their families, and I pray that your blessings will be with our praise team and our pastor as they bring your message. Pray that we will worship freely, Lord, the way you intend for us to. And Father, I pray for those that's been in the path of the hurricane and our prayer list and the lost that your healing hand touch and bless. And Lord, I pray that the lost would know your Son, Jesus, and help our hearts and motives to be pure in everything that we do. We give you the praise, honor, and the glory, and we, Lord, love you, Lord, and all things in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm a child of God. child of God through the shed blood of Jesus, you can stand as we sing and sing it like you mean it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We thank Ernestine for filling in for Nancy as she and Leonard are going through a season in this life that's difficult. And we had a pastor who used to say, anybody who comes through those doors is coming in with a set of circumstances. But we have one God. And it is through Jesus that he tells us in his word, Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if this morning, as we fix to sing this song, you've come in here and there's something heavy on your heart, while we're singing, come and lay it at the feet of one whose hands can take care of it. If you've got a praise and you just want to come and give him praise for just the breath that we had this morning to wake up to, and you want to come and lay that down, come and do so while we sing, My Jesus.
Are you past the point of worry? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Her shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. No sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He grace is free, and the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would. Go and undo if you could. You can work it all for your good. Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is
singing, y'all. We'll be in the book of Revelations, chapter 21 and 22. Wasn't that good singing? Amen. Amen. Won't we give our Jesus a round of applause this morning? Just the fact that He would die on a cross for us, you know. And that He loves people like me. You know, that's awesome. I mean, God is good. We will be in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and it's good to be with you this morning. If you never, ever, if you're watching my Facebook, you're listening over the radio, or here for the first time, if you don't remember anything else about Thomas Village Baptist Church, remember that nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. If you'll let Him today, He wants to do even greater things than you can ever imagine. You know that today, that your Creator is for you? As you're turning to Revelation chapter 21, I mean, a lot of people see God as this big bearded guy in the sky that's just waiting to hit you with a lightning bolt if you mess up, or a Creator that's basically, as you're turning to Revelation 21, that He's basically just spun the earth into orbit and then He stepped back and left His hands off of it. No. He's active, man, and he wants to be active in your life. Amen? As you're turning to Revelation 21, and we'll be the first 3 to 4 verses in Revelation 21, and then Revelation 22, the first 3 or 4 verses there as well. But do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, if you look on your bulletin, just taking, there's a sheet that we want to know a little bit about you, and We won't stalk you or anything like that, but we will pray for you. And if you'll list as much information as you'd like to list there, we make one promise that your name will be called out in prayer, okay? Last week, we kind of talked about the greatest meal we ever had. And man, it was a good turnout last week, a good time had out at the park. And this week, if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be just a little talk about heaven. Let's have a little talk about heaven. Truth is that you can have a long talk about heaven, and we'd be here for a while. So I'm going to do my best to get through this. But I do want to say thank you to everyone that worked Friday night to be able to feed the band, the cheer squad, and the football team. Thank you for making that a success. Also, Sister Michelle and Brother Travis, Sister Betty, and the men from Recovery Through Christ that's worked out in the flower beds and getting things prepared. Brother Keith also even got downstairs. Let me tell you something. As you turn to Revelation 21, I had a big fright and a little insight this morning. About 8:30, 9:45, I was sitting there typing on the computer, and my computer looks out the window here. So I saw movement up above my head, and I thought it was a car that had pulled in because people were starting to come in and pulled in. And so I looked up, and when I looked in that window, there was this buck-tooth furry beast looking back at me in my face. And he was ugly when I first looked at him. And come to find out, it was a groundhog that was just sitting there looking at me. And I was thinking, you know, you're ugly, but you're kind of cute. And then it's just like, what do you think he's thinking as he's looking back in here looking at me? So just remember, when you're looking at people and judging them, they're probably doing the same thing back to you, okay? All right, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand with me in the honor of God's Word. Revelation chapter 21, as we talk a little bit about heaven. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down and out from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, even Israel did not have that. He called them his people, but he didn't dwell with them. There's coming a day where God will dwell with his people. Now turn over to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, beginning in verse 1. You there? And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the rivers, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne for God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you and praise you for this day. I thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and what you've made me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, without Jesus, I'm nothing today. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, and I pray that you give me the ability to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. I thank you for the sweet spirit. I'm thankful that my Jesus doesn't want to just be my Jesus, but he wants to be whosoever's Jesus today. Anyone that would call upon him today shall be saved. But God, as we get prepared, I know we are all toting our own burdens. We're all dealing with our own issues. But Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. And you do all things well. So in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, breathe in this place like a cool and refreshing breeze, that when we leave here, we'll leave here closer to you and resembling more of Jesus Christ. And it's in that name I pray, amen and amen. I do want to say it's good to have my daughter and Kinsley and Shannon here today. I'm thankful for them. I think they feel welcome at my house. I hope they come back. They left a muffin heart on the stove this morning when we left out. And you know what else? They cleaned it up too. There was no empty pots or nothing. That meant more to me than the heart, you know. But it's good to have them. But no, last week we talked about the best meal. And we talked about the bride of Christ. When Christ Jesus comes for the church, He calls us out of here. And you remember we talked about how that in the Old or in the New Testament, when Jesus said that He was the groom and the church, or we as individuals who make up the church globally, the Catholic Church, that whether it be those that go all the way back to the book of Genesis or whether they go all the way to the end time of Revelation, when He calls us up there, He made a promise. Just like the groom, when he would be betrothed to his wife, and remember, they would drink of the cup and he would offer her the cup, and if she drunk of the cup, then that meant, yeah, I'll take you, old boy, as my husband. And he'd say, listen, I'm not going to drink of that cup again until I drink it new with you when we have our wedding feast. And that's what God's told us. That's what Christ said. Remember in the upper room, He says, boys, I'm not going to drink of this cup again until I drink it again new with you in my Father's house. Isn't that awesome? And you know what? There's nothing right now that we're waiting on for Christ to come back. He could split the eastern sky and He could call us away at any time. But I tell you, as I've been studying Revelations, you know, if you study Revelation too long, it can confuse you and spook you a little bit at the same time. But the Bible says that there's a blessing for those that study Revelations, and there's a blessing for those that read it out loud and for those that hear it. But also, it's in Revelations that we find out a lot about our eternal home. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to spend a whole lot more time in paradise, in heaven, in New Jerusalem, than we are on this earth, so we need to be getting excited about it. I tell you, I love living in Georgia, but we had nowhere near. We had about 10 months of summer, 2 months of winter, and a few months of hurricane season. And that's just about all the seasons that we had. But I've said this many times up here, that we live, and my wife will amen this, that we live in the most beautiful place in all the world. There may be other places that are as beautiful. But man, I mean, think about it. In the summertime, we have the beautiful green that's just lush. And everywhere you look, it's green. And it looks like broccoli trees all over the place. Different colors of broccoli trees all out there. And then we didn't have this, but man, this time of year, and we had that rain come in, that should make the leaves shine a little bit. And in the next few days, it's going to be awesome. And up there, just above Brother Otis's, on the days that the fog is falling down and the mountains are rising up and there's the white, and then you see the beautiful orange and brown and red. I mean, it is just so amazing. And then in the same time, in just a few weeks, it's going to be so empty looking. And the place you couldn't see 3 or 4 feet, you're going to be able to see forever there. And you know what? It's beautiful and it's amazing. But it does not compare to the glory that is in store for us when we get to New Jerusalem and we get into heaven and what we'll know as paradise. How awesome is that? And so let's just get into it today, because I'll be up here forever. Now I want you to think about this as we go through and we talk about heaven. Okay, in the book of Genesis, we started in a perfect garden. One man, one woman in a perfect garden. Now the growth that's going to happen is when we get to Revelation, where we're at right now, where we read from this morning, God has brought it from just being a simple garden to taking it into a city. So there is the growth. And remember, this is only the capital. This is not, because see, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and New Jerusalem is going to be the capital. There's going to be so much more that's outside of that. But the first thing as we talk about heaven that we've got to recognize is that heaven is an actual place. Heaven is a real place. According to Pew Research, an article from 2022, 73% of Americans believe in a place called heaven. And even our secular sciences are beginning to realize that they are what they call other dimensions, other realms, other domains that are out there, that though we may not can see them, though we may not can lay our hands, that there is something beyond our natural world. And we should have already known it, like over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21. Hear the petitions of your servant and your people Israel, which they pray towards this place. May you hear in your dwelling place in heaven. May you hear and forgive. And notice, and most of the time, if we'll read the Bible, there's a lot of answers to questions that we can get. Listen to what Stephen said, the first martyr for the Church of Christ. It tells us this, but Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. And where did he gaze? He gazed up into heaven. God let him see into that other dominion or that other realm. And it said that he saw God's glory and he saw Jesus standing at his right hand. And as he was dying, the glory of God, he wasn't talking about the pain. He wasn't saying, oh, don't let me die. What he said was, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He was not fearful of death. He was not scared of what was to come because he recognized that he was passing from the only hell he would ever experience into the presence of God, which is heaven. No matter where God is, no matter where Christ is, that's what is heaven. And then the Bible tells us, Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, I believe he's talking about himself, and most scholars and theologians do as well, but he calls it a man. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ, a brother in Christ, who about 14 years ago, whether it was physical or whether it was a spiritual vision, he says, I cannot know, only God knows. But this man was carried into the third heaven. And how he was carried up into paradise and heard words unable to be spoken. Not that they weren't lawful for humans to speak. We just can't speak them. That there, not only is there heaven, but there's a language there. Because it's a kingdom, right? It's His kingdom. And there's this language that we ain't going to have to learn it. He's going to give it to us when we get there. But he says, and how he was carried away into paradise, and he saw and heard things. Now, the third heaven, not to confuse you, the first heaven is right above our heads, the blue sky. That's the first heaven. So then what would the second heaven be? It'd be what's past that, all of the galaxy that we see, the planets and the stars and all those things. And then the third heaven, that's paradise. That's where God abides. That's where Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. And so today, as we look at everything that's going on around us, as we're carrying our own problems, as our bodies are getting beat up and our spirits are trying to be broken down in us, we can wake up in the morning and say, hey, someday, if not today, I'm going to a place called heaven. And over in the book of John chapter 14, Jesus said, listen, be not afraid. If you believe in God, then believe also in me. Because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I'm going to specifically build you a place at my Father's house. And if I go to build it, then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you so that where I am, we will be there together. Just like the groom said to his bride, I got to go away for a little bit, but I'm just going to be getting things ready. And then we'll be together forever. Glory to God, there is a place called heaven. As we talk about heaven this morning, we need to recognize that heaven's economy and value system is going to be nothing like our economy and our value system. If you were to look there in Revelation chapter 21, verse 18, and God help you for hearing me try to pronounce these words, okay? Beginning verse 18, notice, listen to what it says. The building material of the walls around the city was jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear glass. The foundation of the city, its first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysotile, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th being amethyst, and the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate is made of a single pearl. Can you imagine the size of that pearl? Then imagine the size of the oyster that produced that pearl. But God don't have to have oysters, okay? Or he can do it, just speak it. But here's FYI, if you look over in Exodus chapter 28, beginning in verse 17, 12 of these different gems were on the breastplate of the priest. And I'll let you look it up. But listen at this. Jasper, that's basically a diamond. The walls are going to be made out of diamonds, so clear and so pure. You remember clarity, carats, and there's one more thing, cost. That's what it is. Well, praise God. we ain't going to have to worry about any of that because God's going to take care of that. The next thing is pure gold. It's going to be so pure that you could see through it almost. We don't even know pure gold of that kind. I mean, God's going to be there. And then it says, the next one is sapphire, sky blue. Emerald, a St. Patrick's type green. Sardonyx, a reddish brown, a rust look. Cardellina, a brighter brick type red. Crystallite, clear yellowish gold. Beryl, a green, maybe yellow, maybe blue. It can be different colors. Soft. Topaz, a yellowish green. The Christophase, it's a golden green, kind of like the apples, a golden green apple. Jacinth, a transparent reddish brown, and amethyst, a purple. And then, and I don't know what all those mean. They mean something. I don't know what those mean. I do know this, that there's not going to be anybody there with a chisel or a jackhammer that's trying to bust up diamonds off the wall or anything like that. Why? Why? Because the Bible tells us this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of God's are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than abundance of gold, and they're sweeter than honey that comes from the purest of comb." You see, the whole economy there is going to be so different. You know what's going to be the most valuable thing in glory? Christ Jesus, the Father, the Holy Ghost, the Godhead. That's what's going to be most important. And I want to tell you something else. As we get older in our relationship with Jesus Christ, everything else should devalue as we begin to understand who Christ is and how much He loves us and all that He's done for us, and we should value Him more. And then also we shouldn't value all the things like we do. I'm not saying it's wrong to have fine things, but I'm telling you this. Jesus Christ didn't come to die so that you could have a mansion on a thousand hills. He came so that you could have eternal life, and so that your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, all your friends, He came. That's what He valued. And that's what we should be valuing. But think of the pearl. You know how a pearl is made by an oyster? A little piece of sand gets in the oyster's mouth, and it from its pain, from its suffering, it produces a liquid that hardens up around the sand, and it gets bigger and bigger. Glory, hallelujah. From the suffering of the Son of God, it is us who have the beauty of eternal life and a relationship with our Creator. The very one who breathed not just the breath in us, but breathed eternal life. Remember, it says that we were made in the image and in the likeness of God, and then He breathed into us a life eternal. Man, I'm telling you, you get to talking about heaven, you can get excited a little bit when you think about it. Number three, as we talk about a little bit of heaven, heaven is out of our range. Our imagination cannot fathom. I'll be honest with you. I do. You ever dream about heaven? All I can dream about it in, and it, maybe this is because I'm weird, it's all in black and white. It's all in black and white. I don't think the colors, I don't think I can even fathom them. But listen what it says. I saw, Revelation 21:2, it says, "I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband." You know what? No matter how beautiful you thought your fiancé was, on the day that you turned around, standing there, and the music kicked in, she was far more beautiful than you ever imagined. You know that? And no matter how much we think heaven's going to be, it ain't even close, man. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard the things that God has in store for those that love Him. Revelation, listen how it talks about it. Revelation 21, beginning of verse 15. "And there was one who spoke with me and had a golden measuring rod to measure the city, New Jerusalem, the gates and the walls. And the city laid four square with a length and a width being the same, meaning that it was just as wide, just as long, and just as tall as it was." All of them were equal. And it says that the rod was a 12 stadia, or basically it was 200 yards. And its length and width and height were all equal. And the measure of the city was 144 cubits according to human measurements, which the angel used. But basically, I think, and my math could be wrong, so do your own math. But from what I could tell, it's 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. And if you figure that up, it's basically 2,744,000,000 square feet. That's how big just the capital city is. And then notice what it says. It says that the wall is basically 216 feet thick. And you remember, what's that made out of? Diamond. Diamond. I mean, this is just mind-blowing. And all of that, remember, all of that is going to pale in comparison to the beauty, the grandeur, and the glory that is God Almighty. Isaiah 64:6, eye has not seen nor ears heard. Number four, this one, God gave it to me this morning. In heaven, we're going to do vastly more things than most people think or expect. For some reason, most people think that when we get to heaven, that we've got this, our own little puff of a cloud, and we're going to dress up in some linen diapers, and we're going to have our own little harp, and we're just going to float around for all of eternity going, ring, ring, ring. Hey, who could get excited about that, right? I mean, one, who wants to be in a pair of diapers for all of eternity? But much less just doing that. But listen, we're going to have quote-unquote jobs when we get to heaven. You know that? We're going to do things. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "And his master will say to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. For you were faithful in a few things. Now I will put you in charge of many things. Share with your master's joy.'" And then in Revelation 5:10, well, don't worry about that. We got to speed up. But notice that. We're going to have jobs and roles in heaven. Now, we may not all work in the city. We might have to travel a little bit and go outside the walls to work a little bit. But we're going to do stuff. We're going to be active. We're created in the image of our God, right? He's a worker. He's a doer. He only took one day off during creation. The next thing is this, is that part of it's going to be service to God. We're going to serve the King of all kings. Revelation 22:3, it says, "And his redeemed servants will serve him there." It's a kingdom. And a kingdom has servants and things are going on and all that. And so we'll have a job and a role there. You need to find something to do in the church house, because it's going to be something to do with valuing and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, hey, we're going to eat and we're going to feast there, buddy. The first thing we're going to do when we get there is have a meal, right? Well, I mean, once the consummation, when he raptures his church, we're going to have a meal together. You look there in Revelations 19:5-7. Also, it's going to be a place, and this is awesome, a place of reunions and new relationships. I am going to read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16-18. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those that have already gone, they're going to be there. And then it says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, think about that. All your loved ones, all of your heritage, your family, some that you don't even know about, you're going to meet family that you've never met there. You'll learn things about relatives and all that. Remember, we're going to be there for an eternity. We'll be able to learn things, but I'll tell you something else. Listen to this one. In Revelation 5:9, it says that there will be in heaven people from every kindred, every language, and every nationality. And we're going to have enough time to get to know every one of them. We're going to build a relationship with them. But most importantly, on top of all that, we'll be able to have a personal and engaging a physical relationship with Jesus Christ. We're going to worship there. Revelation 5:9, "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scrolls, and you are worthy to do its seals, because you were slaughtered. You redeemed your people with your blood from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation." Praise God, we need to get willing and ready to raise our hands. We need to get willing to bow down and to say amen, hallelujah, amen, amen, as the song went. Because we'll be doing a lot of it. And then the next thing is, who knows what all we're going to be doing? It's heaven, right? What does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what I did not see and what ears have never heard and what has not even entered into the hearts or the imaginations of mankind. That's what He has waiting on us. I mean, how amazing is that? The next thing. Heaven is a place that there's not going to be any more pain, no more tears, no more sin. Revelation 21:3, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous, or what we know, the first things, they're going to be passed away. And remember, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and there's a new way. Revelation 22:3 says, and there will be no longer any curse. Now, all of us in our life, we've been hurt. You know what else? All of us has hurt others. We wear scars, but we've also given scars. We failed others. And we failed God. What about all those memories? What about all those things that we let beat us up in the middle of the night right now? Well, let's think about it. Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, it is I who sweep away your transgressions for my own sake and remember them no more. Micah chapter 7, verse 17, He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Acts 3:19, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins will be wiped out. Now we have a God who does not forget. He's perfect. He's unable. But you know what He's done? He's able to pushing them aside and saying they don't matter anymore. They have no bearing on mine and your relationship. And guess what? I don't know what's going to happen when we get to heaven, but I know this, that we are going to have a glorified mind. We're going to have a cleansed mind. And I don't believe the thought of sin will even be in our minds anymore. Because what? It's going to be wiped away. It's going to be gone. No more will we bear that grief and that pain, those scars, those things that we've hidden in a closet and we pray no one ever finds out. No more fears of that. But then there's also this one. What about our friends and family that die without Jesus Christ? Remember, our minds, we can't compare it to this life. We can't compare it to the way that we think here. So it could be, because sin will be no more, that those who died in sin will no longer be in our memories anymore. It could be that the glory of Christ Jesus and His majesty is so great that for all eternity we're captivated by His holiness and righteousness. Or it could be something else completely different. But I know this, we will not mourn for them. We're not. And I know that sounds a little bit mean, but would it truly be paradise in heaven? Now, who wants to live for an eternity without our friends and families, though? And it should break our heart, because remember, the value system is going to be different. Jesus died so that our loved ones wouldn't have to go to hell. Revelation 14:11 says that the smoke of their torments will bellow for all of eternity. That should break our hearts. As Christians, we should be some of the most joyous people, but we should also bear the most broken heart for the lost. But praise God, today we need to get serious about saving souls. Because they don't need to bear the guilt of their sins for all of eternity either. Not when we have a Savior that says, there's no use in it. I've already went to the cross. I've already put your sins on my back and dealt with those issues. The next one is this. Heaven is the place where the redeemed of Christ will get a new body. Glory, hallelujah. You know that? We do not have to spend an eternity in this body. Now, when He breathed in us, He breathed in us an eternal spirit. But when the curse came, the body was underneath the curse. And listen what it says about Jesus. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 6, it says that He was raised on the third day according to Scripture. He was seen by Peter and the 12, and then by over 500 brothers and sisters. And it goes on to tell us that He is the first fruits of the resurrection, meaning that He is the form and the nature of what the rest of us will be. Remember, His body was rose up from the grave. He was able to walk through walls. He appeared here and there. I mean, I don't know what all that means, but listen what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40 says. There are heavenly bodies, or there's bodies for heaven, and there's bodies for the earth. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is different from the earthly ones. The sun, or the splendor of the sun, another of the moon, and another of the stars, for one star differs from another star in splendor. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. Sown in corruption, our broken, beat up bodies will go into the ground, but it'll be raised in incorruption. What does that mean? That means we're going to get a body like Christ Jesus when we come up out of the grave. Sown in dishonor, sinful, toting those burdens, but raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, but raised what? A spiritual body. Praise God. The Bible says this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. You know what? To be able to get into heaven, we got to get out of this body. That's it. And so we've got to have a vessel. And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to give you the best vessel that I can give you. It's going to be just like mine. Listen, and this promise just doesn't go back to Jesus or to the New Testament. It goes all the way back to the oldest recorded book of all scriptures, and that is the book of Job. Listen to what Job said. Remember, his body was being beaten up, right? His body was breaking down. Job 19, 25 and following. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and He will stand on the dust at last. And even after my skin has been destroyed, even after my physical body has been destroyed, yet I will see Him in my flesh. I will see Him myself. My eyes will look at Him, and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me. I'm going to tell you, man, we say I ain't ready to go on the next bus, but every day the bus gets closer and closer and looks better and better, don't it? Praise God, we need to get excited about heaven. Hey, it's just like your church. If you ain't excited about your church, you ain't going to tell people about your church. You ain't going to invite people to your church. You got a church you're excited about, you'll tell people want them to come. Same thing about heaven. Get a little bit excited about heaven, we'll start telling people about heaven. We'll want people to go there with us. The next thing is this. Heaven is where I will spend an eternity with Jesus. Right now I have a relationship. I have a personal relationship. The relationship you have with Jesus, I can never have. But the relationship I have with Jesus, you can never have. I'm going to have conversations with Him that you can't have. And vice versa, you're going to have conversations with Him that I can't have. But there's coming a day, like in Revelation 21, where it says that God is dwelling with His humanity. He will live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be with them, and He will be their God. Revelation 22, beginning of verse 4. They will see His face. His name will be in their forehead. Notice, we're going to be at home with Him in our Father's house. It was so good having the girls here this weekend. And last night, I think it was like, was it last night y'all was laying there curled up around pillows saying, hey man, it's fall, we feel welcome and all that. You know what, when we get to heaven, it took them a few days to get used to my weirdness. And really, really, I don't even know if they've got used to Amy's weirdness yet, you know. But when we get to heaven, it's not going to be weird. We're going to feel right at home. We're going to be welcome right in. It's just like, man, we'll be like, why didn't we get here sooner? Why didn't we come on home? You see, it's a beautiful thing. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, remember? There we will be with the Lord forever. Forever. Let me ask you this. Think of the greatest president you can ever think about. Think about them inviting you over for supper. It's not, that wouldn't even compare to what the King of Kings has in store for you and wants to spend time. Listen, He wants... Do we understand that Jesus is excited about us coming to live with Him for all of eternity? That got Him excited. Think about the greatest governor or statesman. Have any of them ever made an attempt to get you to come to their house? But the Creator and the King and the Lord of Lords, He's gone all the way. Hey, has Peyton Manning or Michael Vick ever did anything to make you feel welcome at their house? No. I did go to school with Stetson Bennett, or at the same high school with Stetson Bennett in Georgia, though. I will say that, remind you of that. But Jesus said, I'll do everything that is required, everything that is needed for you to come and live in paradise with me. Is that not amazing? That's how awesome God is. And you know what? Today, if you don't know Jesus, He's did everything. He's paid every price. Every I has been dotted. Every T has been crossed. Every legal issue has been done so that you can spend an eternity with Him. And here's the last thing that we talk about our conversation this morning about heaven. Heaven is going to be a place filled with big surprises. Heaven is going to be a place filled with big surprises. I told you, I done had an amazing surprise this morning with the fuzzy animal looking up there at me. But you know what some of the biggest surprises is going to be? One of the biggest ones is be the ones that are there that we didn't think were going to make it there. You know, how in the world did they get here? But probably even bigger than that will be the ones that we thought would be there that's not. That's not going to be there. You remember He said, there'll be those that have prophesied in My name. But I'm going to look at them and I'm going to tell them I never knew you. Depart from Me. Because see, in Revelation 21:3, it says God will dwell with His people. Revelation 22, beginning verse 3, it says that His people will worship Him. Do you know what? I love telling people that I am Randall and Edie Gunner's boy. I love it. That's my identity. And more than that, I love to be able to tell people that I'm Talmadge's and I'm Maddie Gunner's daddy. But even greater than that, I love to be able to tell people that I'm Amy Gunner's husband. Because that's who I'm identified. But greater than that, I am a child of the King. I know Him, but more importantly, He knows me. You see, it's about your identity. You see, identity means that your distinguished character or your personality as an individual. We've all struggled with finding our identity in certain ways. And Jesus says, John pushes so much, the Holy Spirit pushes John the Beloved, writing here in the book of Revelation. He tells us that there's certain people, certain identities that are not going to be in heaven. If you look there in Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 7, the first one is the cowardly will not be in heaven. And that doesn't mean being fearful. I mean, sometimes you need to be fearful. I'm fearful of fire, and it's helped me out at pretty good times in my life. You know, run from what's hot. Don't put your hand on the stove. They're like, yeah, that's good. But there's many people, I've heard it all my life, people who say, oh, serving Jesus, being a Christian, that's just a crutch. That's just for the puny people. Real men don't need no church and no Jesus. There's so many people today. You remember, what was it? Was it Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night? Why did he come? Because he was fearful. He was cowardly. And there's so many people that's going to die and go to hell because they're so concerned about what people's going to say about them. What did the song say this morning? I am who you say I am. You know that? A lot of people will try to define you by what they want you to be. They'll try to manipulate you into being something that you're not. And a lot of us, because of our insecurities, will allow that to happen. But you know what Jesus says? Come unto Me. All ye that are tired, All of you that's broken down, come unto me and I'll give you an identity. You've already been made in my image. You've already been made in my likeness. You know what else? The Bible says this, he who knew no sin, who in his very image was is God. What did he do? He identified himself with me. He who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that I might become the righteousness of God. He wants to give you an identity today. And that's not of the cowardly. It's not of the faithless. And I'm telling you what, there is nobody on this earth that is without faith. Everybody's putting their faith in something. Could be science. Could be Christian ology or what Scientology, whatever it is. Could be that there ain't no God. But everybody's putting faith in something. The next one is a detestable. King James says abomination. That means something that's disgusting. Something that's contaminated. Something that's polluted like rotten food when you get a whiff of that. And we like to use the one in Leviticus chapter 22, or Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, where it says, thou shalt not lay with mankind as one womankind because it's an abomination. But you know, there's a lot more, and homosexuality is a sin. But there's a lot more other abominations in the Bible other than homosexuality. Matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 16, he says that there's seven things that are abominations. Seven things that stink in the nostrils of our Creator. You know what the first one is? Pride. Pride, that stinks, just like homosexuality in the nostrils of God. Lying. That stinks in the nostrils of God. The shedding of innocent blood. Lord, have mercy on America. Evil imaginations. Immoral actions. Giving false testimony on another person. Notice there's a distinction between lying and then lying about somebody. Lying on somebody. It says also that causing division among God's people stinks in the nostrils of God. You see, what's our identity? How does the world know us? How does God know us? He says murderers, the sexually immoral. He says sorcerers, divinations, those who engage in witchcraft or try to know the future by using supernatural means. But it also, the word comes from pharma in the Greek, where we get the word pharmaceuticals. And we got a lot of pharma issues in America right now, or drug issues in America. Then it says idolaters. You know, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, it ain't got to be a little Buddha setting up in the car or in the house for it to be an idol. It's anything that you value too much. Anything that you put above Christ in your life. And then notice this. He also says that liars are not going to enter into heaven either. Every one of us in this place have found our identity in some one of those sins or something familiar to one of those sins. And right now, all of us are finding our identity in something. It may be that I'm so-and-so's son, or it's I'm so-and-so's spouse, or I'm this, I go to this school, or whatever. All of that will fall away, and it will not matter at death. The only thing that will matter is who we are in the eyes of our Creator. And I am who He says I am. And He will either say, this one's mine, come on in, we got a lot of work we're going to do together. Or He's going to say, depart from me, you lawbreaker, I never knew you. So see, this is amazing. John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who receive Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God, those who believe on His name. Hallelujah, heaven is real. Heaven is where I'm going to get a brand new body. Heaven is where every tear will be wiped away from my eye. Every guilt, every sin that I've toted will no longer weigh on me, and it won't matter. Heaven's going to be a place where I get to do a lot of stuff. So much stuff I can't even imagine all the stuff that we're going to do. Heaven's going to be the place where I know more about my Lord. No more I get closer to my Lord. Heaven's a place where I cannot even imagine. And heaven's a place that the Bible says is available to whosoever. Right now. It's open to anybody who wants to, who's willing to receive Jesus Christ. Because see, He is what makes heaven heaven. It wouldn't matter if it was in the middle of the desert. If Jesus was there, that's where heaven is. And so here's what I want to ask you today as our sister comes to play our piano this morning. And if you would, Sister Yvonne, I want to ask you this. Heaven's awesome. Here's the thing. You know what? What did I say? 70-something percent believe in heaven? How many you reckon believe in hell? Because everything, there's an opposite. And nobody says they want to go to hell, but hell is a reality. And the only thing that we really have to do to go to hell is just continue doing what we do naturally, being sinners. We're born sinners. Our body likes sinning. But the Bible says this, that Jesus came to take away the penalty of sin. And when we get saved, that doesn't mean we're going to stop sinning immediately. No, we're still sinners. But it means that every sin, the one I committed before I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the ones that I'll commit after, He paid the penalty for the whole body of sin. Why? So that He identified Himself as my sin. He paid the penalty for it. They took Him off the cross, put Him in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, He rose up. And remember, He rose up in a glorified body. He didn't have that sin on Him. All my sins are already left dead in the grave. And so He says, now you can identify with me. That way, heaven's His home. And He says, when you get there, all you got to do is tell them you know me. No, He says, I've got your name written in a book. I got a place for you reserved. And nothing's going to take it out of there. So today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you found your identity in Him? I mean, I know we're being identified in all other areas and all that. But what about today? Can you say right now, I'm a child of the King. And I know that I am. I know that if I died right now, that I would see Jesus. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or would you say, I just don't know? Some of you in here probably do know that you'd die and you'd go to hell. But remember, fearful, pride, that's the ones. If you're not willing today, maybe you've recognized it for the first time in a long time. You realize you're dying. Would you just say, dear Lord Jesus, take this fear away and let me publicly profess you. Maybe today you need to rededicate and say, yeah, I've kindly been finding my identity somewhere else here lately, but I want to come back to you, and I'll probably have to do it again later on. But today, I just want to let you know that I love you and I thank you for loving me. Maybe today you need to come and as His person, finding your identity in Him, it's time for you to find your identity as a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. But whatever your need is today, He's more than enough. He's more than enough. So right now, I'm just going to ask you to stand with me. The altar's open. Maybe you just want to come and say thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the fact that as your child and having my identity in you, I'm thankful this is the only hell I'll ever have to face. But whatever the need is this morning, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you and I praise you for all that you've done. I pray that you move on the hearts and minds of the individuals here as is needed. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we singing? I surrender all. Won't you come today? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily. I surrender all. Amen. Thank you, sisters, and thank you for being so attentive this morning. We will be celebrating the Glass Baby's arrival here after service. If you can, come and be with us. Don't forget Awana tonight at 5. At 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be talking about all that you would have to lose if you could lose your salvation. It's not just about losing eternity. There's a whole lot more that's got to be lost if you can lose that. Also, deacons, we will be having a deacons meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We'll be pushing a council meeting till next Sunday night after church, okay? Anything else before we close out? Yes, we will be. I need to get some gentlemen at the back door taking up a love offering for, what was his name? Miguel Santos. Would you handle that, Brother Ken? All righty. And this is an eighth grade young man that's dealing with cancer. And we've been, it goes to RICO and just trying to, I mean, nobody wants to deal with cancer, but especially as a eighth grader. And we just want to do our best to help him in this fight, okay? Any other words of praise or testimony this morning? I'm going to go ahead and say a blessing as well, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you for this day. I thank you for the promise of heaven. I thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that this is the only hell we'll ever face. But Lord, I also pray and ask that you give me a burden for souls. Give me your value system. Give me your economy. Let me live by a heavenly economy instead of my fleshly economy. God, we thank you for the precious little ones that you're sending this way. We pray that you just bless this meal. We pray blessings over each one that's here. And God, we love you. We thank you. And there is no God like our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you.